Hello and welcome to this reflection from Stratton Vale Baptist Church. We begin a new series as we turn to look at the first letter of John. But before we dive into what the letter says, let's ask a couple of questions. Firstly, who is John? This is the John who wrote the Gospel of John. He was one of Jesus' disciples. John and his brother James were the disciples that Jesus gave the name Boanerges, meaning sons of thunder. So we can see that this John who wrote the letter was the same John that walked with Jesus, heard him teach, watched him perform miracles, ate meals with him, and so on. And so he is a key eyewitness to who Jesus is. And this fact that he's a key eyewitness is significant as we come to look at the letter. Secondly, why did John write this letter? John's purpose in writing the letter was to reassure Christians in their faith, to make sure they know God and that they feel confident in their knowledge of God. This wasn't written to a particular church, but was sent as a pastoral letter that was sent to several Gentile congregations. The reason the letter was necessary was because of the false teachings infiltrating the church and leading people astray. And the most prominent false teaching was that of Gnosticism. Gnosticism comes from the root word gnosis, meaning knowledge. They argued that they had special knowledge that made them superior, and thus people had to listen to and follow their ideas. And one of those key beliefs was that only spirit was good. Anything material, anything physical, was inherently evil. This dualistic belief led to one of two ways of behaving. Firstly, there was the belief that you could do anything in the body, because the body was evil anyway, so it didn't matter what you did. Or secondly, you had to deny your body any pleasure because it was evil and you didn't want to feed that evilness by allowing it to experience pleasure. And both of these ways of life are unchristian, because in Christianity we do not separate the spiritual from the material. God made both. He created the physical world and he called it good. So to say that physical things are evil in nature goes against what we are taught through God's word. But why does an ancient philosophy matter to us today? It's important we understand the context in which John was writing, but it's also important for the way we live out our faith today as well. As far as I'm aware, I don't know any practicing Gnostics, but we can live as if we are following that dualistic viewpoint. There is a temptation to split our lives into the spiritual or God-related matters and the secular or mundane things. We can live as if only what we do in our spiritual lives matters to God, and then the rest of our lives we can live like anyone else. Having a relationship with Christ is more than just giving time to God on Sunday morning. He should influence the rest of our week as well. So having looked at those questions to give us a bit of context, let's focus our attention on 1 John 1 verses 1 to 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. So in these first four verses of John's letter, he is keen to establish the truth of who Jesus is and how this transforms what we believe and what we do. So who is Jesus? Well, he's the incarnate Word. The first thing John is clear to explain to his readers is that Jesus is fully God, come to earth. In the first verse of this letter, John deliberately uses similar language to the first verses of his gospel to help his audience to make the link to the gospel. Because in John's gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, John explains, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." By using that similar language at the beginning of his letter, John hopes people will connect his letter with his gospel, because it is so important to help his audience understand that Jesus is God, and he came to earth fully God. The Word was God. Additionally, by referring to Jesus as that which was from the beginning, it reminds people that Jesus is the Ancient of Days, eternal, before the world began. He was and is the eternal Son of God, fully divine in nature, as God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. He reinforces this again in verse 2 when he says, "We proclaim to you the eternal life," i.e. Jesus, "which was with the Father and has appeared to us." John doesn't seem to spend as much time focusing on this aspect of Jesus as the incarnate Word, as God on earth, as he does on the next thing, because his readers seem to grasp the concept of Jesus as God. But there were many who struggled with the concept of Jesus being fully man. Whereas today it seems to be the opposite way around. Most people acknowledge that Jesus was a real physical man. There are enough historical documents, both Christian and non-Christian in nature, that mention the existence of Jesus. However, people today seem to doubt the divinity of Jesus. Many people in the world today recognise Jesus as a good teacher and maybe as a prophet, but they do not believe he is more than that. They do not understand that Jesus is eternal, the ageless one who is older than the foundations of the world, older than time itself. According to a survey done in 2020 that surveyed 3,002 Americans, 52% of those 3,002 Americans believe that Jesus was a good teacher and nothing else. So John's insistence that Jesus is fully God is really important for people in our world today, because so many people don't seem to believe this. According to that survey I just mentioned, even some people who claim to be evangelical Christians do not believe that Jesus is God. Believing Jesus to be just a good man and a wise teacher, but not God, shakes the foundation of our faith. If Jesus was not God, he could not have died for our sins, because he would not have been the sinless sacrifice on our behalf. Knowing that Jesus is God is essential if we are Christians, because our faith is futile if Jesus was not God. So we do really need to focus and understand that Jesus was not just a good person, he was God himself. So as I've already mentioned, the original readers of John's letter didn't struggle with the idea of Jesus as divine as much as they did doubt that Jesus was a fully man. Fully God in fully human form was a concept that they struggled with. For many people, their idea of God is a being that is impassible, meaning unable to suffer or feel pain, because that suggests that God is affected by material things. And so believing God became human was completely alien to them. But we know that God is not impassible. We know he feels pain and sorrow. Even if you ignore what is written in the New Testament and focused only on God as described in the Old Testament, we see that God suffers because of the rebellion of his people He grieves when they chase after idols. He is angry and wrathful when they oppress the poor and hurting. And so when we recognise this, we can understand more about how it is possible for God to come to earth as fully man, because he was already feeling the pain and sorrow and suffering of humanity. John wanted to help his readers understand that Jesus was not a phantom or a spirit being that interacted with them. He wanted to explain that Jesus was not merely some sort of figurative ideal or personification of an ideology or philosophy. In verse 1, John states that he was an eyewitness to the humanity of Jesus. He didn't just hear Jesus, he saw him with his own eyes. His hands touched Jesus. He can confidently confirm that Jesus was flesh and blood, a physical man with a physical body. This is why I asked the question of who is Jesus, of who is John, at the beginning of this message, because it was a reminder that John was actually a disciple who walked with Jesus through his earthly ministry. John was one of the closest disciples to Jesus, and so one of the most reliable witnesses of Christ. Additionally, by the time this letter was written, he was probably the last surviving disciple, as all the others had been murdered. So John is the last disciple able to convince people that Jesus was a real person, every bit as flesh and blood as any other person. People needed to understand that because, again, if Jesus was not a physical human being, then our faith is futile because he would not have been able to take our punishment. He would not have suffered the agony of the cross and died in our place. And so we would still be dead in our sins instead of receiving new life through Jesus. So that is John's explanation of who Jesus is as the incarnate word. But he also makes a statement about Jesus being the word of life. When we talk about words, what do we mean? A word is used to carry a message, a meaning. We use words to express ourselves and to communicate with others. So for Jesus to be the word, it is to show that he is carrying meaning, a message from God to humanity. It is the way that God chose to express himself and communicate to the world. Describing Jesus as the Word may seem strange to our modern ears, but to both the Jewish and Gentile readers of John's time, this was a familiar context. The word that John uses is logos, and it was common in both Greek and Jewish philosophy. For Jewish readers, introducing Jesus as the Word points them back to the Old Testament, where the Logos, or the Word of God, is associated with personification of God's revelation. In Greek philosophy, Logos was used to describe the bridge that was between the transcendent God and the material universe. John therefore uses this term to connect with his audience and find a common understanding to start from. But he then takes his readers further as he explains that this Logos was not just a mediator between God and humanity. He is fully divine and yet also fully human. So Jesus is the fully divine, fully human word coming to reveal God's message to the world. But what was that message? Well, John tells us Jesus is the word of life. His message is that of life. And this has a number of implications. Firstly, it reminds us that Jesus is eternal and is also the creator and source of life. As we looked at earlier in John's Gospel, it says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is our life because he gave life to every living being ever created. Secondly, John telling us that Jesus is the word of life also explains that we only have fullness of eternal life with God through Jesus. This is to counteract the heresies of the Gnostics who are trying to suggest that you could attain life through, or could attain eternal life through special secret knowledge or enlightenment. John explains that eternal life is anchored to the person of Jesus. And the evidence that John gives for this is not from tradition or doctrine, but from experience. He has seen, heard, touched, experienced this word of life, and so he is a reliable witness. So John has explained to his readers about the incarnate word, Jesus being fully God and fully human. He also explains that Jesus is the word of life, that we can have eternal life through and only through Jesus. And then John says, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you may have fellowship with us. Jesus is the incarnate word and the word of life so that we can have fellowship with God through him and also fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, I won't say much on this point today because, as we will see as we journey through John's first letter, fellowship with God and fellowship with one another is a key theme throughout John's letter, and we will revisit this a number of times. It is clear that fellowship was really important to John. John could see how different influences on the church were making people lose fellowship with one another, and it was pulling people away from the church. But John wanted to reassert that walking with other Christians in a community is essential. There are many people who say, I am a Christian, but I don't go to church because I don't need to. But John shows us that belonging to the church, to the body of Christ, is important for our walk with God. So we see in just these first four verses that John is explaining to us about the incarnate word, Jesus coming fully man and fully God. He explains about Jesus as the word of life, bringing God's message of life to the world. And he says that we need to have fellowship with the word and through him with others. So that's all we're going to look at for this morning, but we will see what happens next in John's first letter. Let's pray. Almighty God, Jesus, we thank you for coming to the world, fully God and fully man, coming to bring God's message of life to us. And Lord, we are so grateful that because you came bringing the word of life, that we are able to have fellowship with you. We are able to have fellowship with one another. And Lord, I do pray that you will help us to take your message and let it permeate our hearts and our lives, but also that we will be willing to share your message with others so they too may know you, the incarnate word, the word of life, and have fellowship with you. In your name we pray. Amen.